You're listening to a sermon of Meadowbrook Church in Ocala, Florida. For more media resources, visit us online at www.nbcocala.com.
All right, we're going to continue on our teaching entitled Beyond Ourselves. Go ahead and say that, Beyond Ourselves. And this message is to who today? Go ahead and say it, me. It's to us, and we really got to stop projecting truth onto other people. Make sure that we take it and apply it to our lives. It's easy to say, boy, I wish so-and-so heard this. And that's a nice thought, nice sentiment, but we've got to make sure that we, first of all, are hearing and receiving and acting on truth. Amen? Amen. Let me mention to you, because I've been emphasizing this recently to make sure you're aware of this fully, we believe that God hears and answers prayer. Well, for the rest of you, we believe that God hears and answers prayer. And it's a vital, vital thing. We also believe that He's come to give us victory in every area of life. Whether or not you have victory in every area of your life, if I were to do a quick poll of this congregation, you would find that He is able to bring about victory in any situation. Everything from healing, finances, relationships, whatever it would be. There's nothing impossible for God. Oh, I wish y'all were here. There's nothing impossible for God. Sometimes you need to hook up with somebody else and their faith and to pray together. And so after every service, everybody say every service. After every service, we have pastors, ministers, staff, volunteers. We have people that are across the front here in the altar that are here to pray for you. We've been doing that for a long, long time. And I just want to remind you of that so that every service, you know, sometimes people say, well, y'all pray for the sick? Every service. Do you pray for relationships and finances? Every service. And whatever your burden, your need, your situation, don't walk out of here carrying it on your own. Come and lay that thing down. Let somebody agree with you in prayer and get that taken care of. Amen? Amen. Now, we believe that it is important that you take it to the Lord, not just carry it around with you. And as the Lord would lead, sometimes, you know, we minister in service that way. But you really don't find in the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of the apostles, you don't find scriptural precedent that's the way you do it, is during service you have everybody come up. That's kind of a tradition that churches and man have kind of come up with. Not saying that that is wrong, but I'm just saying that you don't have to do it that way, where in fact every time people get be prayed for, in a sense too, I think it helps to keep it pure and keep it a little more rather than spectator sport. It can be something where we're just, you know what, I got a need, and would you pray with me? And powerful things take place as a result. Amen? All right, let's get into our message this morning. Let me start out with this, because I want to make sure you understand this. God is so good to us. I'll say it again. God is so good to us. And He's so good to us, we are so blessed. Say this, God is so good to me. Now, let me stop there, because some of you are saying, well, I got this going on and this just happened to me and all of that. Well, listen, taken all together, there's some things that come to your life. This is the way I sort it out. This is not blessing me, but I'm blessed. Because you're going to have some things that come to your life, happen and so forth, that wouldn't fall under the category of blessing. How many of you have had anything happen this week that wasn't a blessing? Okay, so you kind of sort it out. That's not blessing me, but I am blessed. And so it's keeping a right perspective on that. But say with me again, God is so good to me. And then say this, I am so blessed. Now here's the other side of that, okay? Because you're so blessed, and you are, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. So I want to get this in front of us again, so that we can all see this, is that we are blessed. We are blessed. And these are the things that God would bring to us and do for us. And these are things that He wants you to also be able to enjoy. Amen. But because we're blessed, we also have a responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. Hold on, because it's a long word. Responsibility. Responsibility is what God wants to do through you. And where His blessings are to be enjoyed, when we follow through on the responsibility, it produces joy. And the joy is actually greater than the enjoyment. of the blessing. And we'll talk about that as we go. But everybody say it again. I'm blessed. And I have a responsibility. And the responsibility really is to live beyond yourself. And that's our title. It's to go beyond ourselves. Not just, I'm so blessed and I want more blessings and bless me some more and that kind of thing. No, you're blessed and God loves to do that. He freely and richly does that in your life. But it must go beyond just ourselves. We've studied this for over 21 years, the purpose of a blessing is you're blessed not just to be blessed, you're blessed so that you can what? So that you can be a blessing. We also find in the teachings of Jesus, to whom much is given, much is what? Much is required. The way that is phrased in the Greek, the requirement accompanies the possession. So to whom much is given, much is required. As long as you have what he has given you, there's a requirement, there's a responsibility that goes along with that. Also, Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. And so again, we see it with the blessing also comes responsibility. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, it'll be on the screen for you. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, teach those. The New King James says, command those. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Verse 18, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. And again, the command, the challenge, the encouragement to be generous, to be rich in good works, to do right things. That's the purpose of why God gave you that. We read a verse last week, strength is for service, not for status. You know, if you just have muscles for show, what good is that? Are y'all here? You know, it's not just for show, it's for that you can do something with what you have. Amen. And so he said that you have to command people with the blessing that's in their life to do good things because, as I said earlier, they don't just drift into generosity. Well, some of you checked out when I read this part, command those or teach those who are rich in this world. Some of you probably thought, well, I'm not rich in this world. Guess what? By comparison, you are stinking rich in this world. If you have shelter, if you have food, if you have choice of food, did you know that the majority of the world today will eat probably just one meal today, a huge number of people, and they will have beans and rice. And tomorrow for their meal, they will have beans and rice. And by the next day, they might be out of one of those, so they may just have beans or rice. And that's all they have, you know, and that alone, I mean, we're better off than that. We've got clean water. We've got an abundance of things. We have clothing. We have transportation. We have shelter. We are blessed. We are, according to the scripture, we are rich in this world. I read to you this statistic last week that if you earn $2,200 a year, that's $2,200 a year. If that's all you earned, $2,200 per year, that's $42 a week. That's $6 a day. You are in the richest 15% of the whole world's population if you have that much coming in. It's pretty incredible. So we're blessed, and we are blessed to be a blessing. We have a responsibility here. Also, and these figures are from 2008. The income of Christians, estimated income of Christians, altogether combined, exceeded the gross national product of all nations combined, minus the G6 or the top six nations. Which means this, if you think about it, that if Christian were a nation, if we were all a country, we would be the seventh wealthiest nation on the planet. And then Christians, if they fully live out what the Bible says, they also tithe. And I've shared with you some studies and estimations recently that if all Christians just tithed, so let's say if the Christian nation, you know, you got Gator Nation, so go with Christian Nation, okay? Come on with me here, all right? All right. So you got Christian nation, if they all tithe, then all churches and ministries would be able to run full speed ahead. But here's something even more exciting. And the Christian nation would be able to solve world poverty. So God has put within the hands of his own people. This will shake you a little bit. God has already put in our hands the ability to cause churches and ministries to fully, full speed ahead, full volume, pronounce the gospel all over the world. And also to wipe out world poverty. But you know what? We're blessed, but we don't understand our responsibility. We divert and do all kinds of other things. And we've got to get this, church. We've got to get this. It's beyond just me and a little bless me club. We've got a responsibility to live beyond ourselves. Can I get a hearty amen this morning as somebody? Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 from the Message says this. Because the stakes are so high, even though you're up to date on all this truth and practice it inside and out, I'm not going to let up for a minute in calling your attention before it. This is the post to which I've been assigned, keeping you alert with frequent reminders, and I'm sticking to it as long as I live. You know what he's saying there? Whenever you present something to people, a vast majority of people say, I already do that. I already got all that down. I'm doing all those things. I don't counsel anymore, but early years of the church when I would be involved in counseling, we now have people that actually know what they're doing, doing the counseling. But when I would counsel, it was amazing to me. He'd say, well, I think you need to do this. I'm already doing it. Well, you know, maybe if you started thinking about it, I already did that. And it's like, well, then why in the world did you come here? Why did you come ask me anything, you know? Because nothing works for you, you know? But the thing is, so often we assume, though, I think just by default, we assume I'm doing that because I know that. But see, don't make the lethal mistake of thinking that just because you know something that you're also doing it. Well, Peter here points out the fact that, you know, you may be fully into this, as he put here, even though you're up to date on all this truth and you practice it inside and out. He said, my role, and let me relate to this. This is my role. This is my assignment. This is the post that I've been assigned to. My role is to continue to inform you and to continue to remind you. So if I'm bugging you, you still got about 20 more minutes of me bugging you, okay? But I'm going to do my job to inform you and to remind you. Well, I'm already doing it. Well, guess what? As long as I live, that is my job, is to inform you and to remind you and to inform you and to remind you so that we will fulfill our responsibility. Now, Matthew 25, we find the parable of the talents. And I'm going to, for the sake of time, I'm going to just abbreviate and tell it to you here. But it's verse 14 through verse 30. It's called the parable of the talents. Jesus tells this parable. It's a picture story for them to understand. And he's relating some truths through this story. And he says that there's a rich, wealthy lord. And he's going away on a trip. And he says, so I'm going to divvy up some of my goods. And so he gave a measurement. And we won't go into all of this right now. 5 talents to one guy. And he said, I want you to take care of this till I return. He gave 2 talents to another one. Take care of this until I return. And to the third one, I'm going to give you 1 talent. And I want you to do the same. And expected that they would bring increase on this. The Bible says that he gave to each one according to their own ability. He gave to each one according to their own capacity. He didn't give somebody something that they could not handle. He said, I'm going to give you something to be responsible for and to bring increase, and you can handle it, and I want you to do this. He went away on this journey, and immediately the one with 5 talents got to work, and he was able, through investment and working and so forth, to cause it to produce 5 more. The one with 2 talents did the same thing. He caused his 2 to turn into an additional 2. The one with 1 talent wrapped his up in a McDonald's napkin, and he buried it in a cup underneath the seat in his car. Some of y'all are writing that down. It's not true, okay? It's not true. He wrapped it up in a napkin. He buried it in the earth because he thought that's a safe way to keep it. And then when he returns, I'll just give it back to him. So when the Lord returns, he's settling accounts with these guys. And the one with 5, he said, here's the 5 you gave me, and I doubled it. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful with little. I'm going to make you ruler of much. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Did the same thing with the guy with 2. And then he got to the one down with 1. And he said, so what have you done? And he goes through this whole thing. Well, I know you're tough this way and you're tough that way. And so I just didn't want to lose it at all. So I just wrapped it up, but I got it right here for you. And he said this. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant. Now, of the three, one with five, he heard this. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to increase you, and I want you to enter into my joy. The one with two, he same reward, same verbal affirmation as well. But the one with one, he heard this. You wicked and lazy servant. So, let me make a point of a couple things. First of all, he gave to each one according to their own ability. There's a capacity that all of us have. Each one of us have a different capacity. Come on. Each one of us can handle different amounts. Maybe something in one area that I could handle a lot. Maybe you couldn't handle as much there, but there's other areas you can handle capacity and I would just collapse under that load. There's some things that are just more than we can handle. Well, God is faithful. God knows you. God is awesome. And God will not give you more than you can handle. So he's going to entrust you with something that you can handle. Now, notice also that the amounts varied for each one, but no amount was considered insignificant. They were all treated the same. If you had five, two, if you had one, whatever it would be, they're all treated the same, which brings us to this big point that I'll mention several times this morning. What matters isn't whether or not you're a five talent, a two talent, or a one talent servant. That's not what matters. Here's what matters. What are you doing with what he gave you? That's the real question. Not, well, I'm a triple threat or whatever. You know, I've got five talents, two talents, one talent. That's not what matters. What matters is what are you doing with what he has entrusted you with? That's the responsibility part. Let's consider a couple things here. First of all, what you do have came from God. Amen. What you do have came from God. In John chapter 3, verse 27, Jesus said, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. In 1 Corinthians 4, 7, Paul said this, what do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why do you boast as if you had not received it? So the first thing is this, everything you have came from God. Come on, if you're with me, you got to get this. Second of all, God will only entrust you with what you can handle. And again, I'll make a point of that. He's not going to give you too much. He's not going to give you something that you can't handle. Thirdly, and this is very important, what he has entrusted you with, you're responsible for it. You're responsible for it. So let's go a little bit further. If I'm going to be held responsible then I need to do some kind of inventory. You know, if a teacher or a professor walked in the classroom and said, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to give you a test. Well, I want to know what the test is on. I want to know what I'm going to be held responsible for. Or if they say, you got to take this test to get this license. Well, tell me what I have to learn. And so if you and I are going to be held responsible, and we are, and I want everybody to look at me, and nobody escapes this. Everybody here has something that God has given you. And it may be one talent, maybe 20 talent, whatever it would be, whatever that means to you, you're blessed and you have a responsibility. So if I'm going to be entrusted with something, if I'm going to be held responsible for something, then we need to kind of look at this and find out what is it that I'm held responsible for? What is it that I have from God? So let's look at this real quick. Usually this is going to fall under the umbrella of something that we call around here T4. Everybody say T4. And if you'll remember, some of you may remember, T4 stands for this: your time, your talent, your treasure, and your touch. Say this with me: time, talent, treasure, touch. That's what God has given you, that's what He has entrusted you with. That is what you will be held responsible for. Let's talk about this just real quick. First of all, your time. Time is the currency of this dimension. Every day, everybody gets 24 bucks. Every day, everybody gets 24 hours. You don't, because you're a five talent, get a few extra hours. And if you only got one talent, well, you're going to get a few less. Everybody every day gets that same amount. And how you spend your time shows how you spend your life. And so if you look at how you spend your time, it's going to reveal to you what you value. And everybody's after your time. And we get frustrated when something robs us of time. I do. You know, if you're trying to get somewhere, get something done, and then, you know, you spill something, you knock something over, you can't find something like car keys or worse, your car, you know. You know, you got something holding you up, or, you know, you're trying to get somewhere and the people driving in front of you, they're obviously not trying to get anywhere. And what do we feel? It's this whole time thing, you know, and it's valuable. So this will hurt you a little bit, too, to realize how you spend your time shows what is important to you. So we've got to adjust that a little bit. But one of the greatest gifts that you can give to somebody, one of the greatest blessings you can be to somebody is to give them some time. To give your spouse time. To give your children time. To give a friend time. To give a project time. That's an important thing that you have been given, you're blessed with, and you're to use it in a responsible fashion. Second of all, talent. Talent is something you do. It's an ability. It's a skill. It's a talent. It's something you know how to do. Maybe you can fix things. Maybe you can cheer people up. Maybe you're a good cook, you know, and you're to use that. You're blessed with that. Use that. You know, if you're a great cook, it should not just be so you can keep feeding you. You know, did I do that or did I just think it? But you got to realize somewhere along the way, yes, 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 enjoy. But you've got a responsibility. Who knows who you could cheer up, who you could help out just by cooking for some. Or maybe you know how to fix things. I don't. So if I came over to help you build something or put something together, you know, say, hey, could you run and get snacks? I'm good at getting snacks, okay? I'll be right back. But we all have talents and gifts and abilities. Some people are just great organizers or whatever, and you've got to take that talent. The other night, Alicia had some show on hoarders, buried alive. And it's just, you know, it's sad. It's just sad watching that. But what happened is some people that probably have the cleanest desks and the cleanest closets in the world decide to take their ability to organize and to reach out and go help somebody else who something's come apart somewhere and they don't know where to put things anymore. And they're just literally getting buried alive by stuff and junk. You know, and I saw through that the other night and I thought, you know what, that's using your talent in a responsible way. And look at me, everybody can do something. I said, everybody can do something. And take that talent. Next is your treasure. Treasure is what you have. Typically, it's resources. It's finances. It's things you have accumulated. It could even be wisdom. And those are things that you would freely give to somebody else to alleviate a need, to help somebody, maybe to avert misfortune. And then finally is your touch. And your touch is something you express. Touch is something where you encourage somebody, you comfort somebody, you cheer somebody on. And your time, your talent, your treasure, that's what you're going to be held responsible for. So it's not what all you have, it's what are you doing with what he's entrusted you with. Now, let me give you some bad news on this. You're blessed. Y'all here? All right. You're blessed, and that's awesome, but you have this responsibility, and if you do not fulfill the responsibility, then what you're responsible for can be taken away. In Matthew 25, verse 29, I didn't make this up. This is in the Bible, y'all. In the New Living, it says this: to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But, everybody say but. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Could I put it to you this way? Use it or lose it. And if you think about your T4, your time, your talent, your treasure, your touch, those things that make up you, those things that come out of the blessing that's in your life, you don't want to lose those things. You want to use those things in a way that is a blessing that pleases God and helps other people. Now, if you do use it, if you do fulfill responsibility, then you're going to find this, that what you do have, what you have been entrusted with, will develop, will grow, will increase, and God will even add to your life. You remember from the parable, Jesus said, because you well done, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. And it talked about even that He took from those that were not responsible and added it, causing abundance even to come to a person's life. It's a no-lose situation to fulfill the responsibility that goes along with the blessing. Amen. Now, Christmas time, I love Christmas time. There's a song I've known my whole life. I'm not going to sing it for you. The Little Drummer Boy. It's a little children's song. And we all know the pa-rum-pa-pum-pum part, you know. And when I was a little kid, if I had straws or pencils or whatever, and my parents played records. Y'all know records? It's like these big black CDs, those. Okay. They played records, and I can remember them, you know, I'd finish the record and start going. And then you'd hear all this commotion, the poom. And then another one would start, you know. But I love Drummer Boy. And there's a special, I think it's on Tuesday night of this week, but you show them this guy. You remember that guy. And then I recently ran across a more contemporary version of this guy. Is that the coolest little guy right there? Well, it's this little children's Christmas song that I still happen to love, but think of the story now, and don't fail to miss this, because we're so used to pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. We've heard it 30,000 times. We don't think about it anymore. But here's the story. This little drummer boy, all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, hey, there's a newborn king, and we are all taking him our very best gifts. And he said, but I'm just a poor boy. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. All right, let me stay on track here. And here's right from the song. He said, I have no gift to bring. Shall I play for you on my drum? And it goes on. It says, Mary nodded, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And this part I always thought was dumb. The ox and lamb kept time. Like, what are they going to do? y'all are holding me up. He said, I have no gift to bring. Shall I play for you? And then get this part. Don't miss the meaning, the purity of this here. He said, I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. And then get this part. Then he smiled at me. Me and my drum. So let's go back again. What matters is not, are you a 5-talent, 2-talent, 1-talent, 18-talent servant? It's what are you doing with what he gave you? And maybe you just, all I got, I play a little drum, then do it. Then do it. And whatever it would be for you, you're blessed. He didn't skip anybody. You're blessed. Well, I wish I was more blessed. Well, then follow through on your responsibilities. It'd be amazing what God will do. Now, let me hurry. In Hebrews 13:16 in the New Living, it says, and don't forget. Everybody say, don't forget. Don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Listen to it in the message. Make sure you don't take things for granted and go slack in working for the common good. Share what you have with others. Get this next part. God takes particular pleasure in acts of worship. When we do those things, it's acts of worship. It says a different kind of sacrifice that take place in kitchen and workplace and on the streets. So God has helped. People are helped. And God is pleased. It's an act of worship. And go back to that little kid's song. All I can do is this. But I'm going to do it my best. And it's an act of worship in kitchen, in workplace, and on the streets. Now, all that said, I'm always for application. I don't want you to just walk out of here and say, okay, I'm blessed. Okay, I've got a responsibility. How do we apply this? And this will just take a couple minutes to show you this real quick. How can I help? What can I do? Where's this going to take place? Now listen to me, because this is so important. Get this. This will usually take place in your path. See, a lot of people are afraid to ask God to use them or do it because he's going to take you to the far side of the world. Listen, God has you on a path. Everybody say path. There's a path where he's ordering your steps. He's leading you. He's lighting your path. And most all these things, I mean, I was trying to think over my own life. I think they all have happened in my path. So don't let this concern about, well, what if he sends me to the North Pole or wherever? You know, I don't be afraid of that. It is your path. And in your path, remember the Good Samaritan? He came upon the guy who was in desperate need. The scripture says, as he journeyed. It's in your path. Paul taught us in Galatians chapter 6, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. So it's like these chances, these opportunities are going to show up in your path. They'll be there. So here's what we do. Let me go over this just real quick. What do I do? How can I be used? Number one, look. Everybody say look. As you walk through your path of life, there are going to be some very obvious things around. Now you, and I'll make more of this in just a moment. You don't have to meet every need. It's not your job to meet every need. But as you're going along, you're going to look and there's going to be some things that is obvious. I'm to do something about this. So church, listen to me, please. Lift your head and start looking around as you walk through life. It's not just about you walking through life. I'm so blessed. I have a responsibility with my blessing and I'm looking. What am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do? The second thing is this. Ask. Everybody say ask. You know what? Sometimes a little bit of doubt or you wanting to be proper about it. Maybe sometimes you approach somebody and say, Is there something I could do to help you? Would you mind if I did this for you? Could I get this for you? And sometimes even this. Would you mind if I took care of that for you? Ask. Everybody say ask. Thirdly, and this one is huge here. Pray. Everybody say pray. I want a double dog dare you. No, let's go seasonal. I want a triple dog dare you. To pray and say, Lord, show me today a way that I can be a blessing. And I'm going to give you a little prayer right now. Get ready for this. This will change your life. I dare you to ask God, I mean, get still and mean it. God, use me today. Could we practice it one time? Everybody say, Lord. Use me today. Let's do it one more time because I don't want you to forget it later. I don't want you to say, oh, I forgot what it is, so I won't ask. Now here it is. I want you to say it again. Lord, use me today. I'm telling you what, your life's about to change. Because if you'll pray that prayer, there's some things going to be real obvious to you. You're going to find in your path that God is setting you up to be a blessing and he wants to use you. And can I tell you something? God is just looking for people that are available. He's looking for some people. Hey, I play the drum. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And it's whatever that you have, whatever that you can do, your time, your talent, your touch, your treasure, your touch. Those things, a combination of those things. Or lastly, be led. Everybody say be led. I said this just a minute ago. You don't have to do it all. You're going to see need everywhere. You're going to see situations everywhere. Now stay with me as I'm about to close here. Pastor John, you can come. You're going to see things all the time, but get this out of your head. You don't have to meet every need. You can't meet every need. Guess what? You're not the Savior, but you are blessed and you have a responsibility And all of us are called to live beyond ourselves. How do we apply this? You are so blessed. God is so good to you, but you have a responsibility. This is not beyond what you can do. It's not going to ruin your life. It's not going to wear you out. This is in your path. God has set it up that way. He's blessed you so with your time, your talent, your treasure, and your touch. And on a daily basis, you need to start looking around a little more. You need to ask some questions of some people. Do you know somebody I could help? And you need to pray and ask God and say, Lord, use me today. And you be led, and He will show you strategically. He will show you precisely how to walk through. And I'm telling you what, your life is about to change, but also the lives around you are about to change as we fulfill this responsibility and live beyond ourselves. Did you get anything at all out of this today? Thank you, Lord.